protecting tribal land, the state of Yuma, and a night of recognizing Yuma's educators. I'm Alexandra Rangel, and you're listening to KAWC's Arizona Edition. Yuma County selects its Teacher of the Year.
I just truly believe in education. I believe that knowledge is power, and so the fact that I get to be a facilitator of that, or I get to foster that kind of critical thinking and questioning of the world, is my favorite part of teaching.
And continuing the fight, the Quetzal tribe is advocating for their homelands.
For us as a Quetzal people, this is our religious place.
Plus, the Yuma mayor gives an update on the state of the city, and our student journalists dive into neurodivergence. These stories coming up on Arizona Edition. This is Arizona Edition. I'm Alexandra Rangel. The Fort Yuma Quetzal tribe is working to protect hundreds of thousands of acres of tribal land, including fragile desert ecosystems and sites they hold sacred. Reporter Victor Calderon recently flew over the land with EcoFlight, a nonprofit that raises awareness about wildlands. He explains how these efforts are helping educate others about the importance of preserving these tribal lands.
The Fort Yuma Quetzal Indian tribe recently invited community leaders to take part in an EcoFlight in Yuma. The goal is to show people a different view of the land, from the skies. It's part of the Protect Quetzal campaign that advocates for the homelands, cultural objects, and sacred places of the Fort Yuma Quetzal Indian tribe and its people. Chris Benson is a pilot with EcoFlight.
The goal of EcoFlights is to get people up in the air looking at the landscape, having a meaningful experience that can lead to productive discussions about the best way to steward lands for the future.
And so for the area that we went over today, that we flew over, what should people know about the environment and what's being done?
Overall, issues with the Colorado River, landscape development, aridity, all these things are kind of the perfect storm for a lot of habitat loss, species loss, and then these culturally significant landscapes that have unfortunately been destroyed or unrecognized. We need to do a better job of consulting sovereign nations and what's important to them and tie that into important ecological landscapes. So this connects the Colorado River in this area with other landscapes north of here, like Chuckwalla National Monument and Joshua Tree National Park and Aviquime National Monument further north. And so these landscapes, it's really good to conserve them, but we also need to make sure they're connected so that the landscape, the ecology can move the way it needs to move. So that would be one way that protecting this landscape would aid. And, you know, we're just facing a crisis, right? We've got species diversity loss. We've got lots of habitat loss. And then with the Colorado River water crisis, we've got some really tough decisions to be made. So generating awareness about the landscape, how we're connected, how this part of the river is connected with other parts of the river upstream, and having fun that these flights are sort of a way for people to have more productive conversations and move the needle on these issues, which is really important to do right now.
Donald Meadart Jr. is a co-lead with the Protect Quetzal campaign.
I understand that everyone has their own connection to this landscape, but I wanted to make sure that everyone got up there to see it from a different point of view, to understand it from a different point of view, and also to hear the Quetzal perspective of why this area is so important for the protection, to not only see the destruction that has taken place of the natural habitat and how modern day society has moved into those areas, but also to see the pristine habitat that is still intact in how that pristine area looks. And so not a lot of people get to go out and see it, especially from that view, but just to enjoy the beauty of it. I think that everyone, you know, has places that are their happy places, but I think for us as a Quetzal people, this is our religious place. And so to go out there to enjoy the beauty of it and just to create their own connection, I think is the biggest takeaway that I want people to have.
How can the public get more information or get involved with like efforts to keep the area safe?
So our social media is Protect Quetzon, and so we're on Facebook, Instagram, and we also have the protectquetzon.org. And so if people want to go there to check it out, to sign our petition, it helps us out greatly.
For KAWC News in Yuma, I'm Victor Calderon.
Yuma Mayor Douglas Nichols delivered a State of the City address to local businesses at a recent event hosted by the Yuma County Chamber of Commerce. Reporter Victor Calderon shares highlights of some of the projects and initiatives the mayor discussed.
Yuma Mayor Doug Nichols gave his latest State of the City speech recently. Nichols mentioned that he is in the last year of his third term as mayor. He's running for re-election later this year. Mayor Nichols used his speech to highlight city and community development projects.
I think what I was trying to focus on today was the fact that we're a growing community and we've got great city employees and leaders that are taking us into the future. There's challenges. There's always going to be challenges. But we're meeting them head on with the right people and the right partners. That's the message I was trying to convey and all the different updates from the different departments and activities going on.
So you mentioned development. People know things like the spaceport. So what can you say about what the city is doing to move the city forward?
So it's one of those things that when I first got elected, I had a lot of people come to me. We're looking for more opportunity for our kids. We want them to have different career paths. We want them to be able to grow and have a higher standard and income than we did. And so those are the focuses of our economic development work, whether it's a spaceport or even a data center or advanced manufacturing. It's finding those things that work with our community that give people opportunity. And so that's really the focus from a growing our economy side, but looking at where to grow the city is listening to the constituents, listening to what amenities they want, what they don't want to pay for. All those kind of balances are really critical to putting together a good program, a strategic plan moving forward.
And as you know, people are very vocal about what they don't like or what they don't want to see.
Correct.
So do you appreciate when people actually come to council meetings and say, you know, in the 2 or 3 minutes that they get, what their, you know, opinions are, and they're able to say, we support this or we don't support this?
So what's frustrating about the council meetings is because the way state law is written, we're not allowed to discuss. So it's a one-way conversation. I appreciate forums. I appreciate even emails where we can have those kind of conversations. Unfortunately, what's happening right now, we don't have enough information to have a conversation. So until we can get to that point, all the conversations are really just kind of one-sided, which again is fine. We need to hear what people's concerns are. Otherwise, I don't know what questions to ask. I don't know what information to get educated on. And as long as we're having the conversation, we can be effective. When we stop having the conversations, that's the problem. And I don't ever want that to happen.
I also spoke with John Hessinger. He's a community development director for the Better Business Bureau in Yuma. I asked him about the relationship between the city of Yuma, Mayor Nichols, and the business community.
I would definitely say that within the times that I've been an active chamber member, that the relationship between the business community, but specifically the Chamber of Commerce and the mayor's office, the city of Yuma, has always been a very, very good one. And that's something that I know I'm thankful for as someone who operates, you know, within certain spheres of influence, but on the periphery. But I know that it's something that is super vital for so many of the business nonprofits that operate within the community, the free flow and exchange of ideas that can help to generate not just income, but you know, maybe population growth, but also, you know, as was discussed here, efficiency. Efficiency was, you know, one of the key takeaways today is, yes, we're improving, but we're improving by reducing certain elements. And so, you know, that comes from the top down, but it also doesn't happen without having input from various chamber entities, various other nonprofit entities, and they're getting feedback from all of the community businesses. So again, top-down growth, expansion, but also efficiency.
For KAWC News in Yuma, I'm Victor Calderon.
Coming up after the break, Education Solutions reporter Cisco Stargazer has the latest on this year's Teacher of the Year.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer. Summer break's almost here, and as schools prep for the end of the school year, they're turning their attention to acknowledging all the hard work their teachers have put in. Yes, Teacher Appreciation Week starts this coming Monday, but teachers in Yuma County are already getting their flowers. Just recently, San Luis Middle School's Arilene Gaxiola was named Arizona Teacher of the Year by Teachers of Tomorrow, an alternative teacher certification provider. Gaxiola teaches 8th grade math, and she's won a $500 award to use for her classroom or professional growth. But this award is more than just cash.
It is truly an honor to be recognized as Teachers of Tomorrow's Arizona Teacher of the Year. I feel very proud that my work is being recognized. This award helps bring awareness to the great work happening here at San Luis Middle School, and it represents not just me, but the dedication and resilience of my students and our entire school community. I'm very fortunate to work with such talented students who are always giving their best. Even though some of them face challenges at home, they come with a great attitude and willingness to learn. Because of this, I want to continue growing in my professional development to provide the best education possible. They truly deserve the best.
Her key to success?
I believe that building strong connections with students and making learning relevant to their lives is essential. When students feel seen, safe, and valued, they're more willing to take risks, stay engaged, and believe in their ability to succeed. It is important that they understand mistakes are a natural and valuable part of their learning process.
Gaxiola is currently in the running for Teachers of Tomorrow's national title. Also on the national front, a teacher from Gila Vista Junior High recently earned some recognition, too. Jonathan Bailey, who teaches 8th grade science, was awarded the Maitland P. Simmons Memorial Award for new teachers. This award comes from the National Science Teaching Association and is given out to a select group of educators across the nation. It recognizes them for outstanding contributions to science education, and Bailey is grateful.
I love to teach my students. This award creates an opportunity to share how important quality science education is to all students, especially those that are underrepresented.
His advice for teachers?
Some keys to success are to be passionate about what you are teaching, create a learning environment that allows all students to participate in hands-on science experiments, and to motivate your students to follow their dreams.
Bailey received the award at a National Science Education Conference in Anaheim, California on April 17th. But that's not the end of his recognition. This week, Bailey won Yuma County Teacher of the Year in the middle school category. That was one of four categories recognized at the 39th annual Yuma County Teacher of the Year banquet Thursday night. Each category had three finalists. For primary, which includes preschool through third grade, Claudia Alvarez of C.W. McGraw Elementary was the honoree. For intermediate slash special area, which covers 4th through 6th grade, Teresa Teeter of Alice Byrne Elementary won. And for high school, Gila Ridge's Gregory Brown was the winner. Separate categories for higher education recognized full-time and adjunct faculty, too. From Arizona Western College, Dr. Monica Ketchum Cardenas was the full-time honoree. For adjunct, it was Shara Skinner. At Northern Arizona University Yuma, the full-time honoree was Dr. Monica Acosta Alvarado. For adjunct, it was Bertha Mendoza Avila. This event, put on by the Education Foundation of Yuma County and the Yuma Rotary Club, is the biggest night in education for Yuma. For 2026, 94 nominees were submitted for 6 categories, including higher ed and first-time teacher. An extensive process involving essays, videos, and 2 rounds of interviews narrows down the finalists, and ultimately, the winner of the grand title, Yuma County Teacher of the Year. For 2026, the winner was, well, we'll let you listen for yourself.
your Yuma County Teacher of the Year 2026 from Palmcroft Elementary.
Oops, people got a little too excited for us to hear. But the winner was Hannah Martinez, a third grade teacher. Hannah has been teaching for 6 years now, and she spent the last three of them at Palmcroft Elementary. A Yuma native, she's a product of public education, and that's something both she and her mom, Debbie, wanted to emphasize.
She grew up going to H.L. Suverkrupp, and she's a graduate from Yuma High and a proud criminal at that. And so I think that we in Yuma should be very proud of the product of what our school systems are putting out there. We have amazing schools in Yuma County, and she is just one of many. You saw all of the teachers here are all deserving of this award.
Debbie was a very special guest for Hannah. During her speech, Hannah shared that her mother was Yuma County's 1998 Teacher of the Year.
I was privileged enough to grow up watching her spend her summers setting up her classroom, stay an hour before school, stay an hour after school, grading papers. She's missing dinner because she's at someone else's baseball game or showing up Saturday morning to someone's soccer game. And I thought, God, this woman's crazy. Who would go their whole life in school just to come back and come to this place?
But when Hannah went to college and began taking education classes, it finally hit her. And it hit her again when she joined Palmcroft.
And I got to public education, I thought, oh, that's not crazy, that's passion. That's someone who believes in education, that is someone who sees kids, who recognizes it's a privilege to know a kid's name, not even just to get to know them who they are, but the privilege to know their name. And because of her, I wish I could be half the teacher she is. I wish I could be, because if I'm teacher of the year, then she's the teacher of the universe. Like, truly.
Debbie, a fellow third grade teacher, couldn't quite agree with her daughter's appraisal, however.
One of the things that God has brought with this, her teaching and me teaching, is that we have a connection that only the two of us in the family have. There's an understanding now, but just when she shares, I can see her doing it. I've never been in the classroom with her, but I know what an amazing individual she is. And she blows me away. She says that she's not half as what I am, and that's not true at all. She is phenomenal.
Monica Gill, Hannah's peer and teaching partner at Palmcroft, couldn't agree more.
I can sit and watch her teach probably all day. And I've been in the profession 21 years. So she's definitely inspirational. She has a heart and a soul for teaching. She said teaching came to her in college. I think she was born to do it.
Hannah told KAWC there are many things she loves about teaching, like finding students where they're at and watching them have that aha moment.
I just truly believe in education. I believe that knowledge is power. And so the fact that I get to be a facilitator of that, or I get to foster that kind of critical thinking and questioning of the world, is my favorite part of teaching.
Her takeaway message for the audience, though, was to support public education and support the work teachers like her are doing. This is something she's come to appreciate from her observations working at Palmcroft, and she elaborated with KAWC why support matters.
At Palmcroft Elementary, we're one of the oldest schools here in Yuma, and we've been hit really hard the past couple years with natural storms, right? And ceilings are leaking, our carpet is not getting replaced, we've had structures in our playground break down, and so one, financially invest in public education, we could really benefit from it, but also just like the support of investment. There's been a huge push to take kids elsewhere, which you have the right to go anywhere you want, but just recognizing that there is value in what we're doing. There are professionals in the classroom who know what they're teaching, who have a passion behind it. So investing in our teachers, investing in Yuma, and just supporting your teachers. I understand that there's a lot of things in the world right now, but teachers are supposed to be a safe space. Their classrooms are supposed to be a safe space. And so investing in the well-being of their classroom is an overall benefit for everybody.
Now that she's won the title, Hannah will be able to amplify her message as she'll be spending a year as Yuma County's education ambassador. Congrats, Hannah. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer, and this reporting is supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation. This week's hotspot focused on the subject of neurodivergence. And to share with you an excerpt of the work our student newsroom is doing, we'll be hearing from student reporter Chloe Michael. Michael explored how one local group is creating community and connection for adults with disabilities. Have a listen.
I'm Chloe Michael from the KAWC Student Newsroom.
Have you ever found it difficult to find your place in the world? Like it's impossible to fit in? If the answer is yes, then you're not alone. Being human, it's in our nature to not only want, but to need to belong somewhere. According to the American Psychological Association, being accepted within a community is important to your mental health. Feelings of anxiety, grief, and depression can all tie back to feeling isolated, which could lead to harmful behaviors for anyone who is struggling to meet their social needs. Founder of Circle of Friends, Diana Flermon, understood this feeling all too well, not only for her son, but for other adults who are living with a disability. She believed that starting the social group can help them create friendships and give families a chance to relate to one another.
You know, and I hear it from the parents as a testimonial that their son or their daughter is out in the community with genuine friendships. Everybody that's a human being needs to know they belong somewhere.
After her son graduated high school, Flermon noticed something was wrong. The community he once had was no longer there. This became the start of something greater.
Started a long time ago because my son Adam just had come out of high school. And my friend and I noticed that our kids were becoming depressed because they were no longer connected to community. They were home a lot and only just with their parents or with a few people. So my friend and I said, let's form a play group for our kids and let's come together because her and I were friends anyway. So we started connecting with other parents from Special Olympics, and we asked them, "Day, do you want to come out with us and we'll play games with our kids? After that, maybe some of you guys would like to go out and eat with us." And that's how the ball rolled. And now my son is 40 years old, and it has been a successful community group.
Before she knew it, families started to resonate with her story. And thanks to Circle of Friends, nobody was going through it alone. Flermon described this experience as a journey.
But not just for him, but for others, as I see other people in the same journey. And so that's why it was very easy for me to join with my friend, join with other people. I embraced the journey of not being like the rest of the world was passing me by.
After many years, they are still going strong, meeting up once a week, having annual events, and even partnering up with the city of Yuma. But that doesn't stop there. Friends within the social group are now a part of each other's lives.
What has happened, what has developed is that now we go to each other's birthday parties. We go to their house to swim. We go, you know, through. We go to the movies with genuine friends. And our children and are seeing the value of it. The parents see the value of it. It brings the participant out of depression, because they know they have genuine friends and they have a community to go to.
With what began with a mother looking for a way to make the world brighter for her son has now evolved into a space where a piece of our community has been changed for the better. From the KAWC Student Newsroom, I'm Chloe Michael.
You can catch this feature and more on this week's Hotspot. To check out the full episode, visit kawc.org and find the Hotspot under our podcast tab. Or look it up wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be sure to find it.
KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.